Hey, my name's Emma.
Hey, my name's Maddie.
And you're listening to The Pilots Pandemic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to this week's episode of the Pilots Pandemic podcast. We are back solo dolo this week to cover some aviation news, which y'all have probably heard about, like near miss after near miss after near miss. So that is what we are going to be talking about today. But as we always do at the top of the show, what have we been up to? I know we took a break last week. I appreciate everyone's patience. Just had some personal stuff come up that wasn't really planning on, so ended up having to take the week off, but we are now back. Other than that, I've just been busy. What about you, Maddie? I know you've been traveling. Yeah. And you had your intro flight.
Yeah.
Maddie is officially a student pilot, y'all. Oh my fucking God, I forgot.
I am. I know. I honestly forgot about that too. I don't know how I did, but last week was when I took the intro flight and you and I were kind of busy. So we were like, let's skip. Got gut issues? Because Emma and I sure do. I have an issue with high sugar foods and anything with added preservatives. And Emma has a whole ass gluten intolerance. So we struggle with finding tasty treats. But thank the heavens for Abinola, because it has been a lifesaver when we want a sweet treat fix without all the gut bums that high gluten foods like cookies and cakes give us.
Abinola has a chocolate granola that is made with lupini beans, so it's gluten-free and only has 1 gram of sugar, leaving our sweet tooth satisfied and our tummies feeling perfectly fine.
You guys, you can head over to abby-foods.com or the Instagram account at abby_foods_co for your granola fix turned tasty treat fix. You'll also find all kinds of recipes to try out, so you'll never get bored with Abinola. Use code PILOTSPANDEMIC for 15% off your order of Abinola. My instructor was super cool. He actually knows one of my friends from high school who was also a CFI with him and went to school with him. So there's that like small town connection there. But honestly, I had so many things running through my mind during my intro flight. Like there's just so many things going on and you're like sucking in all this new information that it went by so fast. Like I literally went up and went back down. I loved it. So I start my lessons after Sun and Fun. I have 4 lessons already planned.
I'm stoked, dude. I feel like it feels like that the first couple of lessons, like you're literally absorbing so much. Honestly, everything that you learn in your private pilot really does feel like that, because it's all of the building blocks and it's all so new that it definitely, I feel that like it'll probably feel that way for a while, but I'm excited, man. I'm really, really excited for you. I'm just excited to be able to talk to you about like shit like that and just like what you enjoy about it, you know, what you're doing in your training and just all the fun stuff. And plus I like am vicariously living through you a little bit because I haven't flown in forever. So this is like fun for me, for us to be able to kind of like talk about aviation, like yeah. More, which we're always talking about aviation, but because I haven't been flying and like up until now, you haven't been flying. We haven't just really talked about like kicking back and like talking about our flights. So I'm excited to hear all about your journeys because you'll be doing cross countries and all of that. So like, that's when it really starts to get fun, is like, you'll be able to go to different airports and like definitely coming back with stories after those flights. So I'm excited for you, man.
What was your cross country that you did? Where do you go start at?
For my solo?
Yeah.
I flew out of RDU and then I flew to, I believe, Lord knows, I want to say it was Burlington, And then another small airport somewhere in that general vicinity. I want to say, because there's like a couple of different airports, but I went to Burlington from RDU, and then another small airport, and then back to RDU. Nothing fun, like literally nothing fun. I got close enough that I could see, like, start to make out some hills and some mountains, but not too far, and then came back. I think the reason I don't remember is it was so traumatizing that, and we honestly, I should not be telling you that, but it just was a rough day to do a solo cross country, and also flying in and out of RDU.
I know, it's like you were in real, class for airspace. That just scared shit out of me.
There's real source of anxiety for me.
I'm just happy. I think Bellingham's class D or class C, one or the other. But
yeah, I think RDU's a Charlie, and then Charlotte's the B, the Bravo, which, oh my God, I don't even know if there's, I think ATB might have a school at Douglas, but I do not know. I feel bad for anyone who has to learn how to fly out of like a class Bravo. Like, I think about people on the West Coast, like people in LA and stuff, like looking at some of that airspace is maddening. Like, I'd probably just throw the towel in before it even got wet.
You know, SeaTac, you can't even fly a little Cessna in there.
I didn't even know that.
They have pain. That's why they make everyone go into Painfield, which is like 30 minutes from Seattle.
I gotcha.
I think you could get cleared at night. That's when like there's not as much traffic, but I don't think that's like rare that they'll do it.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if it's an IFR thing. Like maybe you need to like be on an IFR clearance or something like that, but
I think it's a runway slat, like enough space on the runway, like so traffic, because there's always flow into Seattle. There's too much traffic. And then I think at night, it's just way less traffic. It's SeaTac's like a night, morning operation. So at night, I think you could fly your Cessna into there if you wanted to, but usually they just send you it to Payne.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Somebody listening knows and has done it before, definitely send us a little DM. I'm curious about that kind of stuff. Like, we don't really, I mean, on the East Coast, yes, we obviously have like larger airspaces, like up towards New York, DC, that whole area. We have a little bit more like complicated stuff, but for the most part on the East Coast, it's like very easy flying, easy airspace. Yeah. So I've never had to deal with a lot of that. So it's always really interesting to hear people like talking about what it's like to fly in and out of those larger airspaces. But dude, I'm so stoked for you. Plus, dude, your views are like way different than mine. Where I did all my training, we were flying over fields, which kind of sucks. I mean, if I would have done my training back home, like where I'm from, I would have been flying over beaches and stuff like that. But we did go to the beach on our cross countries and do all that kind of thing, which was obviously gorgeous. But I feel like for you, all the terrain is like gorgeous ocean and like mountains and volcanoes. And I don't even know, man, like you've got it good.
We do. I was like, I got all the things, mountains, ocean. I got fields too, but yeah, we have the San Juan Islands. So we're pretty, pretty lucky. And actually the people at the Bellingham Aviation Services who do their CFI stuff there, they go on to fly for San Juan Airlines. And so they just hop over and then they get to island flying and get paid for it. So
that's so dope, cool. Dude. Yeah. That is sick. Well, yeah, I really have nothing that fun to contribute to the conversation, but yeah, I mean, shit, I'm excited for you, man. I really can't wait. And like, hopefully my goal would be, which this is like, this would be, I don't know if this is like too far-fetched of a goal. It's definitely dreaming big, but I think we could do it. Maybe possibly, we definitely have to save our money, but I think it would be super fun for you and Jess to fly into Charleston, and then we rent a plane and fly from Charleston to Florida, Lakeland, for Sun and Fun next year.
Yo, that would be dope.
I mean, I started to think about it and I was crunching some of the numbers, and it's like, by the time you spend money on gas and all of that, and like, obviously we'd camp because that's the experience. Like, we'd have to camp. We'd be dirty, stinky, but like, it's part of the experience. It's part of the fun. But I think that would be epic. I mean, holy crap. Can you imagine that? Like,
oh, that'd be so sick. We would have the best time.
But yeah, anyways, that's our goal.
I'm just seeing dollar signs in my eyes right now.
I feel like if we really set our mind to it, like, I feel like we can do it. We just have to save our money, which I've impressed myself a little bit with saving money. So I feel like if I manifest it, it's either next year or the year after, but we have to do that like within the next 3 years. And I think we could definitely do it.
Jess and I were talking because you know how I was like, I wanted to get my dad's airplane back. Update for any of you following on that. They never answered me back. The guy who has my dad's plane, his Cessna, he never messaged me back.
Damn.
And I'm so stupid because I did not like put my phone number on there or my email. He just has my mailing address. And you know, snail mail, only the FAA does that anymore. So he never messaged me back. So I'm like, shoot, should I just send him another letter? But I'm like, no, I feel like he is probably like, who the hell is this chick? But the other good news that, or kind of like thing that we're going to start looking into is we talked to the place where I'm getting my flight instructing and stuff. And they said they might be interested in us, like if we were to like lease a plane to them. So we were kind of thinking maybe we'll go that route. So
that would be, dude, I know a lot of people that do that. And that is like a really, really good way to go about it. Obviously
it's not like I want to make, I'm not trying to make like money off of it, but like if the school could like pay for the expense of it and the annual, you know, and all that and the maintenance that goes with it, like that would actually be a great way to get a plane. So we're going to look into that. I'm not getting my hopes up just because, you know, we want a house before we get a plane, but it would be really cool if that worked out. And then next year we'd be set.
Well, again, you just have to manifest that shit.
I know, right? It'd be insane. A year from now, if I'm listening to this and I have the plane, I'm going to be like, oh my God.
If you have the plane and not the house, what are you going to think?
I'll still be happy.
Yeah, you know? I had a feeling. I'm like, shit, by that point, you won't really care. Like,
I know.
You'll be bitten by the bug, and that's all that will matter is like if you have an airplane, when you're able to fly it.
Exactly. I know.
All right. Well, like I said, we are going to get into a little bit of aviation news. So I will go ahead and just kind of roll right into it. So we're going to be discussing the FAA's investigation on many of the near incidents that have been occurring more frequently. And we have a new FAA administrator. So we're going to kind of give you our two cents on what we think about Mr. Washington, I believe is his name.
Yes, Philip Washington.
Philip Washington, what a name. Well, the first article that we wanted to touch on is from NBC. It's titled, Less Experienced Crews and Air Traffic Strains May Be Leading to Near Collision Flight Incidents, Experts Say. So yeah, lately we've been seeing a lot of less than stellar safety incident reports being filed over like near miss collisions, runway incursions, and even in the sky. So a lot of kind of crazy, I don't know, like it's literally been news after news after news after news of like people like getting real close to some really bad stuff happening.
Yeah, like emergency.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
And at first, like, I was taking all those articles with, like, a grain of salt, you know? Like, maybe they're just reporting this now because they're not talking about COVID pandemic or, you know, the fights happening on board. And this is, like, the new thing that they're attaching themselves to. But as, like, more and more incidences started coming out of the near misses, I was like, okay, well, maybe we should take some stock into this. There's a reason why this is happening. And we've kind of spoken on the safety side of things pertaining to obviously the hiring boom, because this kind of has to do with why these incidences might be happening. So the shortage is happening, pilot shortage is happening, and then now all these incidences are happening. So I'm going to read the article. And I think this is from, oh gosh, I don't think it's from the New York Times. I can't remember exactly. But it says, as reports of near-miss incidents at U.S. airports pile up early into 2023, the FAA is set to hold a summit next week to assess safety risks for travelers. FAA Acting Administrator Billy Nolen called the March 15th meeting last month, writing in a memo that we are experiencing the safest period in aviation history, but we cannot take this for granted. And it goes on to say, experts say near misses on runways are more common than the traveling public may realize. There's been 613 runway incursion incidents over the past 6 months so far, according to FAA data, compared with 801 incidences between October 2021 and March 2022. While each incident is different, experts say there are likely some common underlying factors. So we're trying to like suss out what these common underlying factors are. But I did want to touch on this because I'm not trying to play like the blame game. And I feel like that's a lot of what I'm seeing when I'm mentioning airlines and the incidences that they're happening is that people are attaching themselves to the airline and like, well, not my airline. Like they would never do this.
Girl. And sorry, I have to just stop you right there. I've been reading some of your comments and I'm like, okay. like,
yeah.
So awkward.
It is because I don't know what to say and I don't want people to feel like, oh, I'm just blaming an airline. But like if your airline keeps popping up with these incidences or some or they're involved, like, you know, like maybe just take some stock into that. So I just want to touch on that because I think a lot of people get really hung up on the airline. And I don't give a shit about the airline. I give a shit about the whole overall picture and that these incidences are happening and we need to figure out why they're happening. And I really do think it has to do with the lots of young pilots coming up into the pipeline and a bunch of older pilots retiring, which obviously we want that to happen. And this is a good thing. This is the greatest time to be a pilot. You can get hired right away. But with that, we should also be paying attention to the safety side of things and how that impacts safety and what things could happen. So take the airline. If you guys get butthurt about the airline, we're not blaming the airline. We're just saying these are happening at these different airlines.
At the same time, and like, it is rare for me to be, I feel like a little bit more harsh than you, but it's like at the same time, grow up. Like, yes, you can have, I can't think of the word, like you can admire your company and feel proud of what you've accomplished and who you work for. But at the end of the day, they're your employer. At like, it's like, grow up. Like if I just, that concept is so wild to me that it's like, okay, well, just because you work for them doesn't mean I'm not going to report or talk about things that they're doing wrong. Like that makes no sense. Like it's just such a flawed logic there. And also, I don't think you're hurting the airline's feelings. Like we discussed in our last solo episode, it's just hard when you have those kind of conversations and then you see people being so sensitive about that. It's like, really grow up. Like at the end of the day, your company is the company and they really don't care about you that much. They don't care about you as much as you think that they do. Obviously I wish they cared more. That's not to say that like, I wish they cared more. There should be more value and respect put into how they view their employees, but that's just not the case with many airlines. And that's like any big business or big corporation across the board is like that.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's like the loyalty that the employee gives versus the loyalty that the company gives is
gives
not
back.
Equal. Yeah.
Yeah. At all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, you can love and be, you know, proud of the fact that you work for Boeing. It doesn't unwrite the fact that Boeing has done terrible things. Like that's just, that's life anyways. Okay. I don't know. I've been watching your comment sections and that kind of, I don't know. It just annoyed me. I was like, okay, guys, really? Like
the
I don't
whole
know.
Overall point of it was like the safety concerns and everyone's like, but like not United, but like, yeah. not Alaska. I'm
like okay.
That is not the point.
Bombastic side eye right there. Like, anyways. All right. So This article goes on to say, quote, global air traffic has been picking up rapidly following the COVID-19 pandemic. And while it has not yet returned to its pre-pandemic levels, North American activity has increased by 130.2% year on year in 2022, according to the International Air Transport Association. Goes on to say, many of the increased flights are being staffed and guided by less experienced crews. Early in the pandemic, carriers slashed staff and many long-tenured aviation workers retired, leaving carriers scrambling to hire and train thousands of new employees as travel demand rebounded. So yeah, again, like Maddie had kind of touched on, if you have like, they got rid of all these people that had been in their job, been doing their job, were obviously trained. And then when you come back and like they said, a lot of those people just ended up retiring. You've got all these people that are fresh, new on the job. Of course, there's going to be mistakes are going to be had. Now, I don't think like that in particular is really anyone's fault. That's just the nature of the beast that we're dealing with after the pandemic. I feel like that's probably similar amongst a lot of industries right now. So sucks, but that definitely has to be putting a strain on the whole situation right now. Huge factor.
Yeah, it's like not only just like new flight attendants, new first officer, new captain, new gate agent, you know, and if everybody's new, the cohesiveness is not always there. And there's, you know, things move a little bit slower because it's new. And it's, I don't think that it's anyone's fault, but like with the growth happening and the newness, like obviously that creates some issues. And
also
they like on-time performance. So everything has to move fast.
And the social climate as well, I feel like definitely is playing a lot into that. Like it's just airports and air travel are, it's just not like a happy place right now. It's like a lot of conflict. A lot of people are irritated. A lot of people are mad. So you have this whole social climate on top of that, that like you always say, the Swiss cheese effect, man, it's just starting to add your layers of cheese and
the holes are lining up.
Yep.
So I'll read the next part of the article. It says, we're seeing pressures on the system, said Hassan Shahidi, president and CEO of the nonprofit Flight Safety Foundation, with experience levels not the same as they were before the pandemic because of the loss of expertise. So we kind of said that. But this is kind of what we talked about when we were talking about I think this was a couple months back in our solo, we're talking about the pilot shortage, which airline to fly for, a low-cost carrier, you know, and your upgrade time and moving from right seat to left seat. So I think it's interesting because the one thing that I had pointed out was like, just because you could be an amazing pilot, you'd be a perfect pilot, and you got your 1500 ATP, you go to the airline, you're sitting right seat as the first officer, you move over to left seat in 5 months. But I think most people don't have the whole airline figured out. You know, it's just like me flying right now at an intro flight. Everything is coming at me. I have a million things to think about, and I'm just trying to manage all that stress. Thankfully, I'm not fully in charge, but I can only see that being like a super stressful situation. If you're brand new at the airlines and you upgrade within 5 months, that could be really stressful. And so I think, you know, like you said, that whole Swiss cheese, things that you would normally pay attention to now are kind of, you're getting more laser focused and you're forgetting those things because these are types of stresses that you haven't had to deal with before. And being in charge is a major stress. With the airlines, you're not only flying the plane, you're taking care of your whole crew, you're coordinating everything with the ground and the gate agents and all of that, and then you're managing all the people in the back. So that could be,
there's a huge mental element to that too. Like, you know, you're, once you take off, it's you, you know what I mean, it's you, baby. Mm-hmm. Only you. So I can only imagine like the amount of stress and like the mental strain that goes into that. I mean, my dad always used to say like, if he ever had the chance, like whenever he would have the chance, he'd always try and say goodbye to every single person that would step off the plane, just because I think for him, it was like, you know, for however many hours that he was in control of all 300, 400, 200, however many lives were on board. And that is a huge, that's just a huge responsibility. And I think for my dad, someone who was tenured and very experienced, it still definitely took a toll on him in a lot of different ways. So for somebody who's literally 5 months is not a long time to be at a job. Like, I think I've been at my new job for, I think it's almost been 5 months, and it literally feels like I just started a month ago. Like, there's, yes, I understand my job in the basic ins and outs, but there's still new things that I'm learning along the way. And that's like a very basic job. So I'm like, yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Again, that's your, what, our third layer of cheese on our Swiss cheese sandwich.
Yeah. And imagine if you were forced into the leadership position, like you're the manager now.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's one thing I thought about after we had kind of recorded that episode when we had talked about this previously in a solo. I started to think about that, and I just applied the situation to what I do right now. And there's no way in hell. Like, if my boss came up to me right now and was like, "You're now a manager," I'd quit. Like, I'd quit. Like, no. A, I don't want to be in charge. B, I'm not ready to be in charge.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you have the choice. Like, if you don't want to be in charge, you don't have to be. Even if you were ready, that's the thing that I don't like about forced upgrades, is like, these people, the reason why they're staying in the right seat is there's a reason behind it. And some of them could upgrade. They choose not to because of their family life.
Yeah. So
that's like another element when we talk about forced upgrades, because I didn't even know forced upgrades were happening. I kind of had heard about them, but I didn't realize until I think it was Aerocrew News came out with some, I forget the airline that was doing forced upgrades. It was a regional carrier, but either way, it doesn't matter. And I just think that is scary, and I think it's going to happen more.
Yeah. So kind of getting back on to our article, just kind of want to go over some of the high profile near misses that have happened that have been in the news. So on January 13th, a Delta Airlines plane had to abort its takeoff from JFK in New York City after an American Airlines plane crossed paths in front of it. On January 23rd, a United Airlines 777 jet promptly crossed the runway at Daniel K. I can't say that, the International Airport in Honolulu, as a smaller single engine cargo plane operated. So one plane was landing and he decided to cross the runway is what I'm reading here.
Mm-hmm.
And then on February 4th, a FedEx operated Boeing 767 cargo plane and a Southwest Airlines 737 nearly collided at Austin Bergstrom mm-hmm. International Airport in Texas. Then again, on February, and like, this is the thing. It's like, whoa. Okay. Like, whoa, that's scary to hear about. And like, I get that. Like, yeah, apparently according to that one guy that this happens like 600 times a year or 800 times a year, but it's just, I don't know. That's such a crazy number for me to wrap my head around. Anyways, February 16th, an Air Canada flight, was cleared for takeoff in Sarasota, Florida, on the same runway where an American Airlines 737 was also cleared to land. Okay, so on February 27th, a JetBlue plane landed at Boston Logan International Airport, had to take evasive action. This is quote unquote evasive action to avoid hitting a Learjet charter plane that had failed to follow command from air traffic controllers. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes, right there. And there's like more there's than more. That we haven't included. So yeah.
Yeah, because I had just posted the opinion piece the other day, and they also added the Alaska Airlines in on there. Alaska had two planes that they had a mix-up. I think it was in central load planning or something. Their numbers weren't coming back correctly. So they had two tail strikes within 15 minutes of each other on takeoff because they were overloaded, obviously. So they're getting bad numbers. But so that's another incident. Those could have been huge. And I think that's the big thing is like, you guys may be glossing over this, like, oh, well, nothing big happened. And I think that's what the FAA does is they're like, well, it's not, it's the safest time in aviation history. But these are all incidences that could have been disastrous. And I'm not just blaming the newness of the pilots. I also think air traffic control is probably overworked and underserved. And they are having a really hard time themselves. And they're held the same standards as pilots for their medical.
So oh, they're held to even out. Like even higher standards. And I hate to like do this because yes, everyone's experience is valid, but I know air traffic controls. I know people who have gone through that system. Air traffic controls have reached out to me about this subject. If you think it's bad for pilots, for air traffic controllers, like multiply by at least 3 or 5, like, and talk about way like a level of stress that like they have. I think air traffic controllers have one of the highest suicide rates of all jobs. Like it's kind of bonkers, ridiculous what they have to deal with on an everyday basis, especially at like some of these larger airspaces. I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for people who have that job because from what I've heard, it is like it makes what I hate to say that it's not a cakewalk. I mean, obviously both experiences are hard, but what I've heard and from what I understand, it is extremely, extremely difficult and not an easy job to have by any means.
I couldn't even imagine working at like JFK or O'Hare or Atlanta. I'd die. Like that's so much brain overload. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that because I think air traffic control is very strained itself. And it's not like we get to see that in the news a lot because people just want to hear about, you know, airplanes almost crashing instead. So I also just wanted to read this last little tidbit of the article because it's the month of March and they were kind of mentioning some near miss, near collision things. So it says, March also marks the 46th anniversary of the deadliest accident in aviation history when 583 people were killed at the main airport in Tenerife, Spain in 1977 after two planes collided on the runway. The accident prompted a series of changes that remain common practice today, like the use of standardized English phrases over communication channels and the implementation of crew resource management, a set of policies that give other crew members in the cockpit license to contradict a pilot's orders if they believe they are unsafe. So I didn't realize that's where CRM came into place, was from that it wasn't a near miss. It was actually two planes colliding on the runway. So these are the kinds of things, though, that could happen if we just keep overlooking all of these incidences. And I know that the Billy Nolen, the acting FAA administrator, is the one who's called like an investigation on all of these incidents. So it's obviously a big issue if the FAA administrator is calling on those things to happen and to be looked into.
Yeah, I don't know. The scary thing to me, which I feel like everyone just overlooks, which is so basic, but it's like if you had two, you know, large like passenger planes like crash into each other and everyone on board dies, like you're looking at over 600 lives lost. Like that is an extremely scary number of people. And yeah, whatever that guy said, 800, like I keep saying 800. Oh, this happens like 800 in one time. That's way too fucking many, buddy. You should not be touting that as a number of like, oh, we are safe. It's only happened 101 times since this time from this time, which is what it was like a year and a half. That is not something that you just need to be touting about with. It should not be that high of a number. And that's the other thing that's wild to me is the fact that like, how is that even an acceptable number? I just feel like that, which obviously there are probably things that are like very basic. And I know just from like being in flight school at a larger airport, like shit like that happens and you have to report it. That's how you keep yourself out of trouble. You have to report it. But still, it's like, damn, that is a high number. That's a really high number. And that should be concerning. I'm surprised it's not more concerning. I'm surprised that he felt comfortable sharing that number. But well, I guess that's just normal.
I can understand, like, you're not going to be perfect. Like, there's going to be incidences like this, but it just seems like now it's happening more and more. And is it because airlines have overstacked their schedules and there's too many planes coming in at one time? Is air traffic control overstressed, or are our pilots not ready for the position that they're in? So, or is it all of them all happening together and it's like this cohesive thing that's happening, and these are why these incidents are happening? I don't know. And maybe that's why they want to have this investigation happen, is because they want to get down to why these things are happening. I don't know though.
Where's the brass tacks? All right, we'll move on. We're gonna talk about the news of the new FAA administrator. So NYT article reads, I guess this is the title: FAA nominee faulted by Republicans for short aviation resume. So I guess he ain't got much of an aviation resume is what I'm, I love yeah. how I say that as if that, like, that's literally what the fucking sentence says, Emma. All right. Anyways, moving on. Okay. Quote, at his confirmation hearing, Philip A. Washington, the chief executive of Denver's airport, defended his qualifications to run the Federal Aviation Administration. President Biden's nominee to lead the FAA, Philip A. Washington, faced criticism at his confirmation hearing on Wednesday over his lack of aviation experience, with some Republican senators casting him as unqualified for the post. The nomination of Mr. Washington, the chief executive of Denver International Airport, has been clouded with uncertainty in the Senate amid questions about his experience and his entanglement in a public corruption investigation. I'm sorry. So when I'm reading this stuff, y'all, just so y'all know, like, I try to skim what we're going to talk about, but I do want it to be fresh because I want to give you all my hot takes. So I'm learning this as you're hearing it right now. He was pressed on both topics at the hearing, which was held at the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. So, okay. So he's got a seedy little past. He's got some conflict going on with some public corruption. He has a public corruption investigation. That should have been red flag number one. But apparently, Mans has almost zero aviation experience other than being the big boss at Denver Airport, which also should be another red flag considering that airport is sussy as fucky.
Did you see that reel on him though? Like, I think it was the Republican senator, like, just asking him basic questions about aviation, which technically I know, like, you don't need to know, you don't have to be a pilot to be the FAA administrator, but it does help. And I guess like 4 out of the last 6 have not been pilots. And I mean, if we look back, Dixon was a pilot, but look how shit he was. He was worse than this guy. And why do we keep hiring administrators with corruption cases against them? That's my first question. Because Dixon had his own corruption case.
Well, look at the people that we fucking vote in for the president. I mean, I like, it's so, it's like, it's mind blowing. And then I'm sitting here and I start thinking and I'm like, let's just take a look at, like, who was the guy in Florida that, like, I don't know, he's either like a governor or something like that. I should know more about this before I speak on it, but make a long story short, homeboy was elected into like a high ranking, like as a high ranking government official. And basically, like, he's lied about everything. Like, even his name is a lie. If I'm remembering this properly, and literally if somebody said his name, it was all over the news, like not even a month ago, but I'm just like, damn. Okay. Like, I'm like, these people can lie and get into so much trouble and get these high ranking jobs. Yet if I tried to get into college right now, it would be really hard. Like,
you gotta answer, like, more questions than they do.
Yeah, literally. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the amount of like qualifications in the like the proving of myself that I would have to do something as simple as get a few college credits would be more than what it feels like is the standard for hiring at our US government for our FAA administrator. But like, what are my two cents? I do not understand why. I just feel like, in my opinion, and like you said, I mean, that's a great point. The fact that Dixon was a pilot and he was still equally as awful. But I just feel like if you're going to be the boss man of the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, I really do feel like you should at least have your PPL, like bare minimum.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of like talked about. Obviously, that was like the big ho-hum about him being the administrator is that he's not a pilot. But then again, I think like maybe having someone who is not a pilot, who maybe has an outside perspective, could help, because obviously we had Dixon and he didn't do anything for mental health. He just fucking stigmatized it even more. And he's a pilot himself. So that's like the hard part. It's like, I can't say if him having aviation background would be good or not. I mean, he obviously has a transportation background, but then he's embroiled in that corruption case. So I'm like, maybe we should be moving on to somebody else. It's hard to say. He hasn't been able to do anything yet. But he does have people who are backing him, so maybe there is some skill there. But I'm going to go on to read the next part of the article. It says, some Democratic lawmakers came to Mr. Washington's defense at the hearing. Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii described him as a skilled and dedicated public administrator with an extensive record showing that he knows transportation. Mr. Schatz said that Mr. Washington was facing a smear campaign, in quotations, waged by opponents who were trying to desperately turn every aspect of his career into a scandal. Senator John Hickenlooper, Democrat of Colorado and a former mayor of Denver, said Mr. Washington had built a reputation of coming into organizations filled with challenges and successfully transforming them into successes. He's not an airline industry insider using this role as a position for the industry to be policing itself, Mr. Hickenlooper said. The challenges facing FAA are those of managing a large, complex bureaucracy badly in need of modernization. And certainly in that respect, he's no novice. So, and it's true, like, we do need modernization across the board for the FAA. So if he's going to bring that, that would be awesome. But sometimes I just think it's like grandstanding when they are talking shit. They just don't want him.
He lost me the minute his explanation for the alleged whatever the hell it was is that he's facing a smear campaign. The minute you smear campaign, are you like,
okay. Everybody has one.
Yeah, like again, it's sir, like.
But bro, everybody's got a pass. That's my thing. I'm like, okay, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Do we all have to be perfect to be in charge?
I think if you have like corruption going against you and it's not quite solved yet, you probably, I mean, yes, innocent until proven guilty. But at the same time, like if you have something pending like that, it just is. It's like, what if he's actually found guilty for that? Then you, like, the people that voted him in looks dumb as hell. Like, sorry, I'm trying not to cuss so much.
Everybody looked dumb when we found out about Dixon.
Yep. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, I really find it's hard for me to accept the fact that they really can't find anyone who isn't controversial or doesn't have anything like crazy going on in their past. Like, is it really that hard just to find somebody who's level-headed? I guess, again, point A, our government, the entirety of our government. So I guess that's a hard ask.
I think it is. And honestly, I don't think he's acting yet. I think Billy Nolen still has the position because they're still like voting on him becoming the administrator. But he's obviously the only nomination unless Billy Nolen wants to step in. And I don't know if he does or not. So, yeah.
Interesting. So I am going to read another interesting tidbit about from this article about his nomination. So it says, Republicans have also raised another issue with Mr. Washington's nomination. They say that because federal law requires the FAA administrator to be a civilian, Mr. Washington is not eligible unless Congress passes a waiver to allow him to serve given his past military service. Such a waiver would need to be approved not just by the Senate, but also by the Republican-controlled House, end quote. So that's a little confusing because I don't really know what they mean by like, oh, okay. So like he has to be like a true just civilian. Like he cannot be a
military member. Yeah. So yeah, because you're not a civilian if you are military. And because he has that military background, which is weird because Northrop has a military background as the federal air surgeon, but I think it's only as the acting administrator, it's required that you be a civilian and don't have past military service. So if you do, you have to get a waiver signed, which the Democratic side is saying he doesn't need that waiver. And the Republican side is saying, yes, he does. So I think that's what's going to happen next, is that they're going to have to pass this through the Senate and the House for him to become the administrator.
Which is so, really, you know, strange. Like, I'm like, what? Like, of all things that you would like need to have a waiver for, or would be something that would not allow you to be in this position, I feel like serving for your country would, in my opinion, be the last one I would think on that list, but okay.
I think because I don't know exactly, but it may be like the power thing. Like when you're in the military, you don't get the choice. Like you do whatever is asked of you. So I don't really know. I'm just thinking maybe the civilian side, you're not as intricately mixed with the president and what he wants, and you say what you want. That's the only thing I could think of. So we'll see. But I do think it'll probably get pushed to that, or they will somehow get him kicked off. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but it's taken over a year. Like Billy Nolen has been the acting administrator for a year now. And then if they do go through this process where they make him get confirmed by the House and Senate, I don't think we'll have a real administrator for another year.
Oh, God. And so, I just don't even want to think about with the new election and like, oh, God, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, all the things that are coming into play, like, and it's, I don't know how many decisions can be made if you don't have an administrator, you know? So that's the other thing. I'm like, well, we'll see what happens, guys. It's tricky.
All right. Well, is that a wrap?
That's a wrap on that.
Let's move to the fun questions. I'm kind of I'm brain dead after all that.
I know. There's a lot to think about. So now you guys know, keep your heads up, keep your eyes focused for near miss incidents. You know, it's always good to be safe. And then if you like paying attention to who's in charge, definitely watch the hearings for the FAA administrator. But moving on to fun cues, Emma, do you think TikTok will get banned?
A year or two ago, like they said it was going to be banned and then it wasn't. I just don't really see it happening. I really don't. I don't. If it does, I will be getting that VPN service so I can access from a different server. Like,
preferably, so you think, like China.
Oh, yep. No, I'm gonna go in from Ireland. I'm gonna be Irish.
That's awesome. I don't know. I have a feeling some changes will be made to TikTok for them to stay. But it is going to go, I think, and be like, you know, like a case, like going to be heard at the Senate level. So,
which is crazy to me, because if you look at like Which I get it. Yes. Like the only reason it's different is because it's China, but it's like our government and American social media. It's like, but that's the thing to me. That's what I get from that is the government's able to access anything that they want through Facebook or, well, now it's Meta. So, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Like there's so much data that they can access through what used to be social media. And now with TikTok, where everything's based in China, it's a Chinese owned app and social media. I don't think they have as much control. You know what I mean? And that's, I think, what it all boils down to
Yeah, it's
is
just like the
if,
Chinese getting information on
yeah,
America.
like if anyone's going to be getting data from us, it might as well be, you know, our government. I think that's what it really boils down to. But it's like at the same time, like, oh my God, like, it's like, what do you think? Like, oh, I really could give a shit less what China like is getting from my phone, which I understand that there's like it's bigger than that, but it's like
Well,
I
my
think
thing
we're
is
so far
like,
beyond that at this point. It's like we have come into such a like internet age that I feel like we're so far beyond. It's like to get ahead of the curve of China taking and distributing our information and our data, like we're way too far behind. Is my opinion.
But I was like, if they're getting enough information from TikTok on us, why are they sending over their little balloons?
Balloon. Exactly.
I was like, TikTok is not serving them.
No, not
Obviously.
at all. Literally, what they're watching kids watch, like, you don't even want to see my For You page. My For You page is literally like, I would love for somebody in that meeting or whatever that thing was that they had about it. I would love for y'all to take a gander down my For You page. Meeting adjourned, basically.
Yes. The end.
I
So, okay,
mean,
that's our
yeah.
take. I could see it getting banned, but then I just don't think that it will. I think it has too much of a cultural influence in America already. And I don't know what the backlash would be like if TikTok was banned. I feel like
Dude,
something catastrophic might happen.
I don't know. It's just the amount of information. Yes, I understand. Like, there's so many, there's negatives, there's downsides to everything, especially when it comes to internet and social media. But the amount of information that you can like learn on that app is intense. Like, that app has changed my life for the better. I'll give it that. I love that app. I can't lie. I fucking love TikTok. If they take it away, I'm telling you, I'm gonna be so upset.
I know, but then I'm what also makes me mad, I'm like, okay, we're gonna ban TikTok, but we're not gonna ban ChatGPT.
Yeah, literally. But I don't know. I'm just like, the thing with TikTok that upsets me about all of that is like the amount of messages that have been able to be heard through an app like that. And that's why I feel like it's such a critical service to have, is because if you have a message, I feel like you can really, really share it with so many people, unlike anything that we've ever seen before. You know what I mean?
Dude, the president got trolled by TikTokers. Like, that says something.
It really do. It really do. All
Okay.
right, moving
Next
on.
question. Okay.
Yep.
What's your favorite social media scandal right now?
The Gwyneth Paltrow ski trial.
I've been watching that. And I'm like, I don't even know what happened. It's that, or I have been following the Selena Gomez, Hailey Bieber. Kylie Jenner
Oh
stuff.
God, that whole thing, it's just so like so old. Like it's like get the hell over it. Like world star. Like I really honestly want to see the ladies fight. Like at this point, like you know how all the like the YouTube influencer people, like how they'll do like boxing matches and they'll have like this beef online and then they'll do like these huge boxing matches. That's exactly what they should do.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
They'd
I
make
would
so
love
much
that.
money. I mean, the publicity on that would be nuts. But honestly, like, I know that I'm really gonna play the devil's advocate in this one, but I kind of feel bad for Haley, man. Like, oof. It's like at a certain level, to a certain degree, it's like we need to back down. Okay.
Well,
Like,
Selena's been c coming out and saying, like, don't pick on her. So
the only
I don't
reason she did
know.
that is because Haley contacted her. She even said, she was like, Haley contacted me.
Well, that's the
And
thing. It's
that's
like,
why I'm
well, at
like,
least she said it.
She said it, but I'm like, you know, I really don't think Miss Selena is as nice and as sweet as they all crack her out to be either. I think they're both probably very ignorant, very spoiled. And I mean, yes, I understand Selena's gone through some things, and you know, everyone fucking has. Give me a break. Wow. Woo! 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 God. But somebody get me back in the kennel, man. I am like, I am barking today. Like, I am not being nice.
I know whose side Emma's on. I will say Haley's a Nepo baby and Selena isn't.
Isn't. So yeah. Here's so that. You have that. Mm-hmm. And I loved Wizardly of Waverly Place or whatever the hell it was. Like, I loved her on Disney Channel.
Yeah. But she's got a new Hulu special, Only Murders in the Building. Selena,
which
Gomez.
I did watch. I watched, yeah. Enjoyed. I mean, she's for sure a talent. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what is Haley bringing to the table? Ugh, not a lot. But hey, Justin, I don't Bieber. Fucking like this whole touting yourself as Miss Holier Than Thou. Kill him with kindness. Like, girl, grow the fuck up. Girl, bye. Like, you know, you are on your phone in your bed right now. Dying over this. It is literally feeding your ego. You're getting so hype off of it. I just know she is. I mean, what person wouldn't?
She's probably loving it and whatever. But let her live.
Fan base is just bonkers. Gnarly. Bonkers, bibs, bonkers. But yeah, I don't know. I just honestly, I can't stand for either of it. It's like, Haley, I grow up, like, get a job, figure something yes. out. Like, you're going to have to figure something out. Also, stop posting things that make you and your husband literally look like y'all hate each other. Like, Haley, I wasn't trying. You've seen that video, right? That's the other thing too, is like, makes me feel bad for her, because I don't even think Justin likes her. Like, I honestly don't really? Even think Justin likes her. Dude, like, there's a video of her where, like, she gets out of the car and, like, the paparazzi swarms her and she's trying to get away and she, like, trips and falls, and he whole ass acknowledges that she busts her ass on the concrete and he just skateboards away. And there's been multiple times where, like, they've caught him, like, yelling at her, and I'm like, that's what, like, I do feel bad for her. Like, imagine the entire universe is telling you that your husband hates you, doesn't like you, is in love with their ex-girlfriend. And also, they kind of behave that way. Your marriage ain't too strong either. I mean, it's like hard. I'm like, I am a softie. I feel bad for people in those kind of situations. Like, that hurts. You know what I mean? Like, Selena, like, let's be real. You got a lot going on for you right now, baby. Like, you are on a high. You got Rare Beauty, the murder mystery thing going on. Like, everyone loves her. Like, I'm taking the underdog side. Sorry. I just am.
Of course you are. I don't feel bad for Haley. Plus, her name's like, Haley, and most girls with the name Haley have a little evil in them. So
they no, I take that back. One of my best childhood best friends growing up, her name was Haley, and what a gem. Like, really, really sweet fucking girl. Like, really, honestly, what a gem. So I have nothing against the Haleys, but her name is spelled different. It's a different way of spelling Haley. It's not with the I.
Okay, so that makes her special.
No, it's a different kind of Haley. Like, you might be onto something. Haley with the I is the mean kind of Haley.
Yeah, that's true. So.
Okay.
We have figured that out. Okay, last question. You guys will probably think our screen time is way up high and I would also like to say, I think your social media scandal, you had more info than I did about the one that I'm paying attention to. So
I know. Isn't that funny? Well, I live for pop culture. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm a junkie for it. It's my one addiction. I really do love it. Like, if I had,
I enjoy it too. I think it's entertaining.
Like, I wish I could be one of those interviewer people that, like, interviews the people on the red carpets and stuff. Like, I would love that kind of job.
I could see that. Okay, so last one. How much screen time is your phone telling you that you're getting a day?
Okay. I'm going to go. I don't really know, so I'm going to
my phone. I actually don't know. I don't even know where to look that up.
Oh, you just screen time. Screen time.
Shut up. Daily average. 38% down from last week. It just says 2 hours, 58 minutes today. already.
See, mine isn't giving me a today. It's just giving me a daily average. And it says 4 hours, 21% down from last week. But it says, it does show me the days that I'm most active. And it's like Saturday is almost at 10 hours. Oh, and then Monday, Lord. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are all zero.
Oh my gosh. So you're a weekend warrior.
Okay, no. Today, my screen hour time has been 2 hours and 37 minutes.
Oh, so am I beating you for today? Because I'm
But it says 51. Productivity and finance, I've spent an hour.
Yeah, because we're productivity. On
social media, 1 hour, 24 minutes. And the entertainment, 4 minutes.
Okay. I have productivity and finance, 1 hour and 55. Social, 43 minutes. And creativity, 20 seconds. 20 I don't know where seconds. They got the 20 seconds from.
Yeah, I did just see this little breakdown. This is interesting because they fool you. They make you feel really bad. But I'm going to break this down for y'all. Like, most used. Today was my notes. It says 1 hour and 6 minutes. That's obviously how long we've been in our notes for. Mm-hmm. Messages, 1 hour and 1 minute. Because I had my messaging, or I had my text open. So I was communicating with people. TikTok is only 23 minutes. I only spent 23 minutes on TikTok. Take that, U.S. government.
That's a lot of videos, though.
23 minutes is a really short time to scroll TikTok, I think, in my opinion.
8 minutes for TikTok today.
What's your Instagram?
11.
Only 11 minutes?
Yeah, well, so far, because like literally just started my morning.
I forgot about that. Yeah, okay, so let's be fair. Maddie is 3 hours behind me, so it's the morning for her. It's not, she's gotta catch up. Thing. Yeah, she got to catch up.
But what's your average? It should tell you, like, go to week at the top, and then it says screen time, daily average.
Daily average, 4 hours and 58 minutes. Why didn't they just round up to 5?
Mine's 2 hours, 58 minutes.
That's crazy.
I know.
But in my defense, it says that I'm spending the most time that I spend on my phone is on fucking Anchor.
Okay. Well, then
I don't understand why that, like, see, that's the thing. It's like, give me the benefit, iPhone. Like, that is for sure productivity, not entertainment.
One of mine.
Sorry, I just had to get a sip of coffee.
I'm looking at most use, and one of mine's cafe astrology.
Oh, of course it would be. That is hilarious. I'm dying. Another one of my most used is DoorDash.
Of course it is.
One of my least used, Instagram. I hate that app. Don't
say.
I hate Instagram. Hate Instagram. Like, oh, loathe. Loathe entirely Instagram.
Well,
okay. Don't
too much.
Speaking of things I loathe, I have to be at work in an hour, so I have to wrap this up.
Yes.
I need to stop singing. I've noticed I've been doing that, and I'm like, knock it the fuck off. Like, I've gotten to the point where I'm feeling a little too comfortable on the recording.
You're like,
a little too comfortable. Bitch. Yeah, and see, I hate when she starts singing. I'm like, shut up! When she does her
question
of the week, I'm like, okay, girl. Okay. I hit the 15 seconds forward button every single time because it's always the perfect amount of time.
That's how long she goes for?
Yes.
Damn.
Well, then she'll say it and then she'll be like, yeah, I don't want to even get into that. That's not my jam. I'll sing a little bit. I'll give you a little bop or two, but I ain't doing all that. All right. Yeah, that's it. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed this much. Okay. Okay. What is it about the end of the episode? I literally start like, it's like a when you put the CD in the Walkman thingy, and it's like one of your CDs that's all fricked up, so it just starts going, it'll sing you a little bit of the song, but then it's like
switching.
I miss my little DVD player. Would You Be Loved by Maroon 5.
Oh god.
On repeat. I probably burned a hole into that one specific ring on that CD. Anyways, that's it for this week. Wait. We are going to be at Sun and Fun when you hear this episode, which will be Wednesday night. Just so you all are aware, we are going to be at Sun and Fun Friday and Saturday this coming weekend. If you are going to be there, please let us know. We would love to connect with any of y'all. Same thing as last year. We're going to roll up a bunch of stickers, little postcards. And we'd love to just meet some of you. I know I had posted something on Instagram and I saw a couple of you are going. So yeah, if you're listening and you will be there, we would love to connect with you.
Yes, we would.
Anyways, again, if you guys don't mind, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Does help us out a lot. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcast, we will send you a sticker and a postcard. So there's a little incentive there for you. Anything helps. Even if you just want to hit that little 5-star, give us a 5-star. All right. Yeah, that's it. That's all I can think of. So that is it for this week. We will see you all next week. Everyone who is going to Sun and Fun, have fun. Be safe. We'll see you there. And until next week, keep the blue side up and the brown side down. Bye, y'all.